Thank you, Jim. Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Last week we talked about a very difficult subject. It was the subject of worry. And I gave you an assignment. I don't know if you kept that assignment or not. For you that raised your hands and admitted you were worry warts, you were supposed to go home and every morning get up in the morning and for 8 minutes worry. How many of you got a chance to do that? All right, how many of you worried more than 8 minutes? All right, we got one honest person here today. Well, you can start over this week and you can try it again. But we said that only 8% of the things we worry about are actually legitimate reasons to worry. But the Bible actually says don't worry. And we talked about it at our prayer meeting Tuesday night. Is worry a sin? Yes. And the reason it is a sin, because the Bible says don't do it. Now, if your boss tells you to don't do something, you better not do it. Or guess what? You'd be looking for a new job. Well, I'm going to talk about another subject, which is actually more difficult than worry. It is the subject of bitterness. So if you have your bulletins, pull them out and follow along with me, if you will. And while you're turning there, I have to say, there are a lot of things that happen to us in life that can cause us to be bitter if we're not careful. Could be the loss of a loved one. And most of us have dealt with that in one area or another. I remember when my father died. I don't think I was ever bitter. I was in my 30s when he died. It's pretty young. But I got to spend a lot of time with my dad. And I was never bitter with God. I realized that God needed a Sunday school teacher in heaven. That was my attitude. It really was. And I was never bitter. I miss my dad. But I know without a shadow of doubt that my dad is in heaven right now. I know that. So it could be the loss of a loved one. Don't let that be. Could be the loss of a job. A job that you really loved, but it's no longer there. And it may be some of your doings or some of their doings. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, don't be bitter about that. Could be someone has hurt you physically, financially, emotionally, or verbally, and you play that over and over and over again in your mind, and you are bitter with that person or about that person. Bitterness can also stem from relational problems. A girlfriend, a spouse, an ex-friend. Even with God, you can become bitter with God if you're not careful. Something happens in your life, you lose someone, and it's very easy to blame God. It is very easy to say, Lord, why did this happen to me? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to switch the blame today. Because this is the way that you are to blame. You are to blame the devil. Can I get an amen? Because all these things that happen to you that tempt you to become bitter, it is the devil. It is him that wants you to become bitter and not better in your life. And when he sees you becoming bitter, he wins. He holds his hands up down in hell. And he says, yes, I got another one. And you can date this bitterness all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Well, let's define what bitterness is. You want to write it down, you can. It's a very simple definition. Bitterness is defined as anger, disappointment, because you were treated badly. Pretty simple, right? Anger is defined as disappointment or anger because you was treated unfairly. That's bitterness. Now, someone who is bitter is not only angry, they are also unhappy. Go ahead and raise your hand. Have you ever been around somebody that's bitter? They're bad to be around. I mean, if you're not careful, they can rub off on you. You believe that? It's a lot like somebody that is depressed or someone that is negative all the time. Run away from those people, because if you're not careful, they'll rub off on you. Early in the Bible, we find a bitter situation. Cain is bitter with Abel because Abel presented to God a better sacrifice than him, so he gets mad and he clobbers his brother. He don't just clobber him, he kills him. Well, I think that's probably pretty bitter. Now, I've never really wanted to kill anybody. Amen. Hit somebody over the head? Maybe. but not kill some more. In our small groups on Wednesday night, we've been studying the life of Joseph. Been a good study. Because Joseph is one of the most faithful men in all the Bible. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, he's my favorite. In the New Testament, besides Christ, the Apostle Paul's my favorite. But you look at the life of Joseph, and he was treated badly, thrown into a cistern, and they was going to kill him. They thought about killing him first, but then they sold him into slavery, and he just goes after one problem after another, and he keeps this positive attitude. But his brothers were bitter with him. They hated him because Jacob showed favoritism to his son Joseph, and then later Benjamin even. So if you don't think that favoritism is in the Bible, you're wrong. It's all over the place. And if you don't think bitterness is in the Bible, you're wrong, because it's all over the place. From Genesis to Revelation, you find bitterness. One of the biggest examples of bitterness is Naomi. Naomi's husband passes away early in life, and then she loses her two sons. And in Ruth 1:20 through 21, it says, "Don't call me Naomi, instead call me Mara," which means bitter. Naomi was bitter. And ever since the time of Naomi, we have had bitterness. Not only throughout the Bible, we have had bitterness in our own culture, in our own world. That's just a few examples of bitterness in the Bible. And trust me, there are more. And sometimes it's bitterness towards God. And it's bitterness towards others. And if you're not careful, it can destroy you. Amen? In Ephesians 4:31 through 32, look with me if you will. The Apostle Paul must have been dealing with some bitterness in the church at Ephesus. Matter of fact, to the point where it could have divided the church completely. And he nips it. He says in verse 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." Now, I want you to notice here, you can mark in your Bibles, I encourage you to underline. Paul mentions six things that you're to get rid of. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. Six of them. And then he mentions three things that you should do to replace that bitterness. Be kind, be compassionate, and be forgiving. Now, don't read over those so quickly, because those are tough. Someone that has hurt you deeply, someone that has stabbed you in the back, someone you thought was a friend that you found out later on they're not really a friend. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You've been there. And he says, be kind to them. Be compassionate to them. Be forgiving to them. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate, once again, the greatest event that has ever taken place in the history of the world. What is it? The resurrection of our Lord. And there's only one event that even comes close to that, and that'll be the second coming of Christ someday. But there's something that happened before the resurrection. The lies, the denial, the beatings, and the 10 little words that Jesus said from the cross, and here they are, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And I think about that, and Jim actually touched on it a little bit today. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Put yourself on the cross. They just spit on you. They just stripped you. They just beat you. And now they hang you up on a cross, and you're saying these words, "Father, no matter what they did to me, I forgive them." Could you do that? No, you couldn't. You want to know why? You're not Jesus. But Jesus did. He wasn't bitter. He was better. Let me ask you this morning, before we get into our notes, do you struggle with bitterness? And what are you going to do about it? Let's get some help from God's Word and follow along, if you will. First of all, we must acknowledge that bitterness is a sin and it requires repentance. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you." Friends, that is not a suggestion, that is a command. And Paul doesn't say, if you want to or if you feel like it, he says, do it. And if you don't do it, it's a sin. And in 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite passages, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I've always wanted to ask this question, and I wish that it was at the end of this verse, but what if we don't? What if we don't, John? What if we don't forgive someone that has done us wrong? Does that mean that God's not going to forgive me? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 6 actually also. And friends, I want you to know, if you want forgiven by God, you have to learn to forgive others. That's hard. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 15 through 16, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. I want you to picture someone in your mind this morning. Don't write them down on your paper because somebody might see them. I want you to picture that person in your mind that you struggle with this morning. Write them in your mind right now. And if you're bitter against that person, you need to acknowledge the fact that that is not only wrong, it is a sin. And you need to repent of it. And then you need to do something I want to suggest you do. Write this person's name down somewhere on a piece of paper, privately. And during the week, you pray, Lord, help me to make restitution. Help me to forgive this person. Think it'll work? Should. Number two, we need to be aware that bitterness can destroy us both spiritually and physically. In Hebrews 12, 14 through 15, the Hebrew writer says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up and causes you to defile many. The Hebrew writer does not say live in peace with most people. What he says is live in peace with everyone. You got that person in your mind? That peaceful restitution? I want you to know this is a tough teaching, but in order for us to have peace and tranquility in our lives, it is important that we not allow the root of bitterness to take hold in our hearts and in our minds. One of the things I hate to do, every year I go over to the farm and I have to pull up. I used to cut them, but I'm getting smart. Now I pull them up from the roots. What are they? Mulberry trees. I hate mulberry trees. Anyone else? If you live on the farm, you have fence rows, you're always pulling up mulberry trees. And it's an endless task because you think you got them all, and the next season, guess what? There they are again. Lord, why did you create mulberry trees? And I'll pull them up, and I'll pull them up, and I'll get tired of pulling them up. But it is amazing how fast a mulberry tree can grow from a little seedling up until being this tall, just within like a couple years. Can I tell you that's the way bitterness is? Sometimes it starts very small and it grows very fast and becomes very broad. And pretty soon you don't think of yourself as a bitter person, but eventually it happens. You wake up one day, you take a close look in the mirror and you say these words, Lord, I'm bitter. Lord, help me with that. It happens fast. Also, mulberry trees are ugly. It's not like they're a beautiful tree that grows up out of the ground. They're ugly. And I can't wait to cut them down. You know what bitterness is? It's ugly. It's ugly. I want you to know this morning that bitterness can not only destroy friendships and relationships, it can destroy your physical body and it can destroy your soul if you're not careful. Personally, I have seen bitterness alienate best of friends. I've seen bitterness destroy families, and I have seen bitterness destroy churches. I have even seen bitterness at weddings. Anybody seen it? This person sits on this side of the auditorium, the other person sits on this side. They don't talk anymore. They hate each other. They're bitter with each other, and it makes for a dull wedding. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus does not want us to harbor bitterness in our hearts because it can cause heart disease, It can cause cancer. It can delete years from your life. And if not careful, it can destroy your soul. Jesus said in Matthew 5:22, if anyone is angry with his brother or sister, they will be subject to judgment. So let me ask you before we go into the third point, are you angry with anyone here today? Are you angry with anyone outside of the walls of this church? Because if you are, you need to pray about that, you need to repent about that, and you need to make restitution if you can. Third and finally, if you harbor bitterness, God cannot and He will not bless your life. I want you to do something real fast on your paper. I want you to draw a picture of a porcupine. Now, this is an odd assignment, but I want you to do it. And if you're not very good at drawing a porcupine, have the kids do it because they can do it. All right, tell me when you got your porcupine drawn. Some of you are not doing it. Draw a porcupine in your mind, okay? All right, hand your papers. Show your papers. Let me see your porcupine. All right, I can't see very good. Got a few porcupines. All right, I want you to remember this. You'll never forget this. The great preacher, Adrian Rogers. Anybody ever listen to Adrian Rogers' sermons? I like him. He said this about bitterness. People who harbor bitterness are like porcupines. They have a lot of points, but no one wants to be around them. Now, that's funny. I don't care if you laughed or not. They have a lot of points, but no one wants to be around them. You'll remember that. And you need to, because if you're a sarcastic, judgmental, bitter person all the time, I don't care how smart you think you are, nobody wants to be around you. As a matter of fact, they'll almost run in the other direction because they don't want to be around you. A porcupine. Proverbs 28:13, I'm going to randomly shot these passages to you. You can look if you want or write them down. Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Romans 2:5, Paul says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. Colossians 3:13, Paul says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has grieved you in any way, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And finally, number 6:24. I love this. I use this at funerals. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. I love that, don't you? Can I ask you this morning, how many of you want God to bless you? How many of you want God to bless your family? How many of you want God to bless your church? Can I get an amen? How many of you want God to bless America? Amen. We need that right now. Rid yourself of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling. And choose to treat people with kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. You probably have never heard of him. His name is Donald Tippett. He worked for the YMCA on the east side of New York City for many years. And he tells the following story about two thugs with criminal records who came into the YMCA one evening while he was sitting at the desk working. When they saw Donald Tippett sitting at the desk, they grabbed him, threw him on the floor, took out some brass knuckles and put them on their hands, and they beat him to death, so they thought. Sometime later, a woman came into the YMCA and saw Donald laying on the floor in a pool of blood. So she immediately calls 911. The ambulance arrived. They come to get Donald Tippett, take him to the hospital, where he spends weeks and weeks and weeks in the ICU in a coma, bordering on whether or not he's going to live or whether he's going to die. He comes out of a coma, but he never regains his eyesight ever again. The two thugs were caught. They were brought to trial. But much to everyone's surprise, Donald Tippett showed up at the court hearing and he asked that the two thugs not be sent to prison, but to be given over to him so he could have custody of them, because he believed in forgiveness. So the boys left the courtroom. They went home to Donald Tippett, and they were with him for some time. One criminal continued to do criminal acts, and he was sent to prison. But the other one changed his life. He went on to be a doctor of eyes. Kind of coincidental, isn't it? An eye doctor. And not only was he an eye doctor, he was one of the most sought-after eye doctors in the entire world. Do you think maybe, just maybe, he remembered the love and the kindness and the forgiveness of this man, Donald Tippett? I think so. Do you realize this morning the love and the grace and the compassion and the kindness and the forgiveness that Jesus showed you on the cross? Do you realize that he did not have to do that, but he did it anyway because he loved you that much? So I'm thinking about this, and I wonder if Jesus can die for me on the cross. And if he can say those words, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing," I'm thinking about situations in my life where I have become bitter, and you know what? They're not worth it. They're not worth it. Let me ask you a question this morning as we close. Are you a bitter person? Because if you are, you are not only hurting other people, you are not only hurting God, you are not only hurting the church, but you are hurting yourself. We've always said that, you know, you point the finger at someone, there's what? Three fingers pointing right back at you. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. So this morning, I want to encourage you to stop being bitter and to start being better. Amen? And whatever it is that has happened in your life, or whoever it is that has hurt you in your life, stop being bitter and start being better, because, number one, it's a sin. And number two, God's not going to bless you if you don't stop doing that. So I want you to join me this morning in becoming the bigger, better person. Rid yourself of all bitterness, brawling, and slander, and treat each other with compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, this is a tough lesson. Matter of fact, I'm sure there are times we wish Paul hadn't wrote it. But we realize that at one point in our life, all of us, and I mean all of us, have struggled with some sort of bitterness. Whether or not it took root and destroyed us financially, physically, and spiritually, I do not know. But I do know this: there's room for compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs that, I pray that you'll help them to walk forward as we pray with them and for them. And if there's someone here that's not a Christian, help them to realize the love of God that comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. The fact that they can accept Him as their Lord and Savior. It's in His name we pray.